Have you ever struggled with feeling deprived, constantly hungry, or even hangry while trying to lose fat? Today, we are uncovering the science behind increased hunger during a calorie deficit and 9 game-changing, but as always, practical strategies for keeping those cravings at bay so you can stay consistent. Welcome to the Wits and Weights podcast. I'm your host, Philip Pape, and this twice-a-week podcast is dedicated to helping you achieve physical self-mastery by getting stronger, optimizing your nutrition, and upgrading your body composition. We'll uncover science-backed strategies for movement, metabolism, muscle, and mindset with a skeptical eye on the fitness industry so you can look and feel your absolute best. Let's dive right in. Wits and Weights community, welcome to another solo episode of the Wits and Weights podcast. In our last episode 157, Bill Campbell on aggressive dieting, dirty bulking, and keto effects on muscle building, Dr. Campbell was back on to revisit the latest in rapid fat loss, including our findings from the Wits and Weights Shredtober Challenge from 2023 that followed a protocol inspired by his research. We discussed progressive versus aggressive calorie deficits, when does optimal bulking become dirty bulking, the effects of a keto diet on muscle building, and a new study that Bill's research lab is currently planning. Today for episode 158, The Science of Hunger and 9 Hacks to Outsmart Your Appetite, Especially in Fat Loss, you are going to learn about the science behind why we experience increased hunger when trying to lose weight. Plus, I'm going to share 9 hacks or practical strategies to help manage cravings and adhere to your fat loss phase so you don't get too hangry. A big shout out to Luke P. in our Wits and Weights Facebook community for suggesting this topic, because apparently it's been a while, or maybe I've never done a full episode on managing hunger, even though I have both a hunger hacks guide and a hunger scale and diary available for free to anyone who wants it. So if you want the hunger hacks guide, you can click the link in my show notes, or if you want that one or the other guide, either way, you can go to witsandweights.com/free and grab a copy for yourself. Hunger is obviously very important. It's probably one of the most important signals during fat loss that makes it difficult for people to adhere. And I do think it is a critical topic. And so today I want to make sure it's comprehensive in terms of understanding why we get hungry, but also give you some tools to manage hunger. There's a long list. I have a full list of 20 in my Hunger Hacks guide. And today I'm going to share a subset of those, some of my favorites. So let's get into today's episode, The Science of Hunger and 9 Hacks to Outsmart Your Appetite, Especially in Fat Loss. Now, if you've ever tried to lose weight for the purposes of losing fat, you know that hunger can be one of the biggest challenges. It is the first thing that I notice within a day or two when I go into a fat loss phase, and I hear the same thing from clients who are like, well, everything else is fine. Nothing else has changed, but I'm all of a sudden getting hungry. And it's a very common reason why many people struggle to be consistent or stick with that diet, and then they ultimately fail to reach their goals. Just today, I was doing a client check-in, and she was talking about how we have her on a fairly aggressive deficit, and she was talking about almost trying to white-knuckle it through. And I said, we need to take a step back. As soon as you get to the moment where the hunger becomes all-consuming or the focus of your attention, or it becomes an impediment to you continuing, something has to change. And that something might be changing the rate of loss, adding in some refeeds, things like that. Now, I'm not going to talk about those strategies today. I'm going to talk about things that you can do to mitigate or manage or even stop hunger if it happens to be, for example, psychological hunger, or to simply reduce the amount of time that you get hungry. All of the things that just make it a little bit, if not a lot, easier to continue with a certain calorie deficit. But having said all that, the answer may be you're in too big of a calorie deficit. So I just wanted to bring that up early in this episode in case you feel that hunger can be completely eliminated, which is impossible. Hunger is a sign your body is doing what you want it to do. So today we're going to dive into why we experience hunger during a calorie deficit. Okay, I'm not going to talk about hunger during a calorie surplus. That also happens, believe it or not. But it's similar principles. We're going to talk about mainly during a deficit, and I'm going to give you some strategies to make it more successful, more sustainable, so that you have a better understanding of how to navigate all of this stuff. So let's talk about the science first. Now, this piece I may not have included if it weren't for Luke's suggestion of, hey, just explain a little bit behind why we get hungry. What is really going on? And so I'm going to start with the hunger hormones. leptin and ghrelin. Probably heard of these, but if not, it's good to know them. Good to become friends with them and manage them, right? And kind of make them your, we'll just leave it at that. All right. When we're in a calorie deficit, our bodies are in a state that is not natural. And so they naturally want to return to homeostasis. They want to get back to that state of balance. But as we lose fat, because we're trying to do that intentionally, and our fat cells shrink, and I did a whole episode about fat oxidation, mobilization, all that, like what happens with the fat a little while ago, our body releases less leptin. Okay, leptin is a hormone that tells you you're full. It's a satiety hormone. It says, hey, you're full. As we're losing fat, our fat cells shrink. It sends a signal to your body to release less of it. Okay, and it does that through your brain. And at the same time, the opposite happens with the hunger hormone, ghrelin. It goes up and it makes us feel hungry. And so the shift in these hormones is one of many ways that our body says, hey, eat more food because I need to get back to energy balance. And this is why so many of you through years of dieting, even when you don't lose weight, your body's adapted, you still feel hungry all the time. One of the first questions I ask somebody on my free calls or even a new client is, how often do you feel hungry? Like, are you living in a perpetual state of hunger? Because if they tell me, look, I'm not losing weight and I think I'm at maintenance calories, but I'm hungry all the time, that's a good indicator that you are not at maintenance calories. You are maintaining your weight, but you're doing so in an energy deficit, not a calorie deficit, but in a low energy state. So in other words, you're not in a deficit, but you're below where you could be not being in a deficit, right? Your metabolism is being suppressed, and then that would cause you to be hungry. So that's important to understand, that the hunger right there, right off the bat, is telling you that you're in a low energy state of some kind. The next quick thing I want to mention is carbs before we get into some more of the detailed science of the hormones. When we are in a dieting phase or in a fat loss phase, we're eating fewer carbs just by definition. If you're doing it the right way, when the focus is body composition and preserving muscle, your protein is kept high, so your fats and carbs come down and your calories are fairly limited. When we're eating fewer carbs, it is just harder to recover from workouts. Then the workouts feel more challenging. And this is because carbs are the body's preferred source of fuel, especially for high intensity exercise, which includes our lifting sessions, believe it or not. And so when carb is low, we feel more fatigued and we're less able to push ourselves in the gym. So I want to mention that as well, because it's not hunger per se, but it's part of the whole equation of being deprived of energy. Okay, and it all kind of feeds on itself. One of the most important hormones besides the two hunger hormones is cortisol. We know, many of you know cortisol as the stress hormone. And it does play a huge role in hunger and appetite, because when we're under stress, and fat loss is a stressor, our bodies release cortisol. Guess what that does? Well, it increases feelings of hunger. It also increases cravings for energy, which we see as high calorie, high palatable in our world, in the Western world, processed foods, high carbon, sugar, and fat type foods. Right, foods that wouldn't exist in nature, but we are amazing at making them with our science. And hey, they're delicious. I like a good donut, ice cream, or pizza here and there. But when you're in fat loss and when the stress is higher, and now you've got emotions in the mix as well, especially if there's some emotional eating that you haven't dealt with yet, all of it comes together as a perfect storm of cortisol-induced binging. All right. Now, this is thought to be an adaptation to stressful situations. Like if you think of our evolution, when there's a stressful situation, we want energy. We want to restore. Again, it's coming back to homeostasis. So we're going to go find the most nutrient-dense thing we can. It's just all subconscious. And so in today's world, because we also have chronic stress, we have these consistently elevated cortisol levels. And we know for a fact that this is contributing to overeating and weight gain in a massive part of the population. But if you're listening to this and have never thought about the importance of stress in your life, get it through your head that stress and chronic stress could be the number one factor behind why you're having trouble losing fat or maintaining your body composition. And managing stress is also very important. Now, what's interesting is after this episode comes out, probably it might not be for a few months, I'll be doing an interview. I'm not going to say her name just yet, but I'll be doing an interview with a couple interviews coming up. One interview is related to self-care practices, which is something I don't talk about a lot because we often put it in the woo category or like, it's like at the bottom of the list after strength training and protein and sleep and everything else. But it could be the number one thing on your list in your life right now that is preventing you from getting what you want. So I just want to emphasize that stress itself is important when it comes to hunger, because the stress increases the hunger and then it all perpetuates. All right. And in managing stress, you know, there's techniques like meditation and breathing, exercise and training and all that to regulate your cortisol levels. This is why I love strength training. One of the reasons I find that the acute stressor of training hard seems to lower chronic stress. And because it lowers chronic stress, it also helps with hunger, just like walking does as well. Just like having good gut health. And I'm not even getting into gut health today, but the more I learn about it, the more I realize that that's important in hunger. So again, we're talking the science. We're not even getting to the hacks of how to manage it, because the best hacks of all are having a well-balanced, low-stress lifestyle while you're in fat loss. And that's why we don't want to start fat loss when we have a lot of stressors on our life. Okay, so the corollary to this is going to be sleep then, right? Sleep affects your appetite-regulating hormones as well. And it increases cortisol. So it's like one messes with the other and just makes it worse and worse. So when you don't have enough sleep, it disrupts hormonal balance for hunger and fullness, because when we are sleep deprived, we produce even more ghrelin. That's the hunger hormone, and even less leptin. And then we get increased appetite and cravings. Okay. And this is probably our bodies, again, trying to get back to homeostasis. And it says, well, if you're going to deprive me of relaxation and recovery and getting into those different levels of deep brainwave states so that my brain can recover, heck, I need to make up for it somewhere else. I need to eat food. So I'm going to increase your appetite. And that is why getting enough hours and quality of sleep is so important for managing hunger and maintaining the body weight, the body composition you're looking for. And I've mentioned it before, but being sleep deprived will not only cause you to get hungrier when you're gaining weight or where you're gaining fat, it causes you to store fat more in the visceral fat area, the protective fat around your organs, which is the danger, or I should say the dangerous fat that causes belly fat, right? Belly fat. You're going to store it in your belly. That's what I'm trying to say. So again, sleep here is technically like a hunger hack, but it's not on my list of that I'm talking about here, but I wanted to mention it in the science of hunger. So aim for the 7 to 9 hours of sleep. You know, get the quality sleep hygiene and all of that to keep those hormones in balance and reduce the likelihood of the hunger being higher than it needs to be. Another thing on related to the science of hunger is the influence of our senses in the perception of hunger. This is important. Food, the sight of food, just seeing food, smelling food, and the sound of food, like chewing or crunching, somebody eating a bag of chips. That was totally me just acting. That's pretty impressive, right? Those can trigger hunger and cravings, especially cravings, even if we're not physically hungry. Oh, come on. You know what I'm talking about. And this is why it's important to be mindful. And I don't mean mindful eating, but that's important, yes. But mindful of the environment we eat in and the sensory cues that we're exposed to. And those cues, and some of my clients know who you are, might include, you know, someone in your family loves to bake goods and they're always baking and the kitchen always smells great and the food's always on the table. You've got the pies and the muffins and the cakes and they're there. And even though they know they're trying to support you and they know what your goals are and you think you've got all your steel-willed discipline there, the cues are unavoidable to our primal brains, right? So simple strategies like keeping those foods out of sight, avoiding environments that have strong smells when you're hungry, eating in a quiet, distraction-free setting, right? All of those help us tune into our physical hunger cues and avoid overeating in response to sensory triggers. Now, notice as I'm telling you about the science of hunger, I'm actually already sharing things that you might consider strategies and hacks to minimize hunger, okay? And in fact, one more comes to mind that isn't even on my hunger hacks list, and I didn't even have it in my notes today, and I just thought of it, and so you're going to get this bonus hack right now. When you go to a restaurant, you're probably hungry. You're probably hungry for a few reasons. You're hungry because you didn't want to ruin your appetite ahead of time. Like when you go to a restaurant, you want to enjoy the food. And you're hungry because of the sensory environment that we just talked about. This is what triggered it. You've got the visual environment of the tables and the place settings and the clinking glasses, the silverware, the smells of the food coming out of the kitchen. Heck, the smell coming out of the restaurant before you even walk in. All right, I'm convinced they put some sort of little smell capsules in there to make it smell like, you know, char-broiled steak, even when they're not cooking. But, you know, especially like a barbecue place. Oh boy, don't get me started. So you go in there, you're already hungry because of all this stuff, and you're already thinking in your brain about the wonderful foods that are going to be there, the wonderful experience. It's this positive thing for so many of us. And so if you don't have a plan, if you don't think ahead, you're just going to dive in and just start eating whatever, and you could easily overconsume. Now, how can you enjoy yourself but not overconsume? Okay, now this is a lot harder during fat loss. I get it. But whatever the situation is, if you're going to go to a restaurant at all, the way I would do it is, and I think I heard this on Abel Sabai's YouTube channel or podcast, start with a fairly boring, nutrient-dense, low-calorie appetizer, like a salad, that it's not so boring that you don't like it, but it's boring enough that it doesn't have very many calories. And when you eat it, it'll still taste good because you're hungry. So in other words, start with the more bland, kind of boring, calorie or nutrient dense stuff first, because you're just so hungry and ravenous, it's probably going to taste great anyway. And you know what I'm talking about, where like you're just hungry for anything. You'll eat anything and it just tastes great. Even like, you know, stale bread. So start with that. And then it starts to fill up your stomach. And then you start to get less hungry and you kind of space it out and then move to the more calorie dense stuff as you go along. And the idea being that you won't eat as much simply because of your hunger cues. Okay, so that was the hack. I just wanted to tie it into this whole sensory environment. Now, there's also a psychological component to hunger during fat loss, right? There's a huge psychological component. You know it from day one of your fat loss phase. I know I do. When I go from a bulk to a cut and I was eating 5 or 6 times a day and I was eating, you know, 3,200 calories, and now I'm going down to, say, 2,000 calories, that huge jump, it may not cause as much physical as psychological hunger because I'm just not eating nearly as much food. And my brain's like, what is going on? Something changed massively. You were eating 5 times. Now you're eating 3. You're going these long stretches now with eating. What is going on? And you become more food aware and you think about food more often. And that makes you feel like you're hungrier. Right? Even if you try to do the hacks like drinking water and going and being busy, it's still there, right? Even if our physical hunger levels haven't changed much. So this is the science behind it. That's as detailed as I want to get. I really want to get to the hacks now. But it is very important to recognize that hunger is normal. It is expected. I want to revisit that concept. It's not something you could just eliminate. If you're not accepting of any hunger at all, you're either going to go into fat loss and you're going to fail pretty quickly. You're going to fall on your face because you're just expecting it to be this easy ride, or you just want to go at a slower pace, right? And incorporate more of the things we're going to talk about today just to mitigate that so that the hunger is as low as it can possibly be to where it's very below the surface almost. And you could easily do that. Think about when you're just at maintenance, you're generally not hungry. Well, what if you just ate like 100 calories less a day? Well, you would start to lose weight slowly over time and you still wouldn't be that hungry. It's a matter of degrees, okay? Now, I personally like to go very aggressive early in a fat loss phase and then taper it, but some people will go less and some people will do something in between, like go aggressive, but then the weekends are going to go up to maintenance. Hey, this is Philip, and I hope you're enjoying this episode of Wits and Weights. I started Wits and Weights to help people who want to build muscle, lose fat, and actually look like they lift. I've noticed that when people improve their strength and physique, they not only look and feel better, they transform other areas of their life, their health, their mental resilience, and their confidence in everything they do. And since you're listening to this podcast, I assume you want the same things, the same success, whether you recently started lifting or you've been at this for a while and want to optimize and reach a new level of success. Either way, my one-on-one coaching focused on engineering your physique and body composition is for you. If you want expert guidance and want to get results faster, easier, and with fewer frustrations along the way to actually look like you lift, go to witsandweights.com and click on coaching or use the link in my show notes to apply today. I'll ask you a few short questions to decide if we're a good fit. If we are, we'll get you started this week. Now, back to the show. So with that in mind, let's dive into 9 of my favorite hunger hacks. And I mentioned that these are part of a full list. The full list has 20 hunger hacks. This is my hunger hacks guide, and it's completely free if you want it for yourself. Just click the link in the show notes or go to witsandweights.com/free for the full hunger hacks guide. And by the way, that website, witsandweights.com/free, or if you click free stuff, has a whole bunch of guides. I keep adding to it. They're totally free. You can download as many as you want. All right, here we go. Hunger hacks, 9 hunger hacks of the 20 in my guide. The first one is probably no surprise, Prioritize protein at every meal and every snack. When you're in fat loss, you need a lot of protein as a percentage of your calories. It ends up being 40 or 50% for a lot of people. So just eat it all the time. Just make it a rule for yourself that you're always going to have protein. It's the most filling macro. It helps keep us feeling full and satisfied for longer, especially if you eat it from food sources. You might experiment, if you're going to have protein powder, experiment having casein instead of whey and see if the longer digestion helps you feel full longer, for example. And all the protein sources are game, including game. Yeah, game meat, lean meat, fish, eggs, tofu, plants. It doesn't matter, but have something at every meal and every snack. Don't get hung up on the leucine threshold. Don't get hung up on whether you have too much or too little. If your total protein for the day is met, you're good. After that point, if you're doing that consistently, you can go and look at other ways to optimize. Okay, so just prioritize protein at every meal and every snack. That's it. Number two, include fiber. Now, can you include it at every meal? Maybe not. Maybe not. If you have a primarily protein-based meal, it may not have much fiber. But if you're looking for a number to hit, I'm going to try to hit for women at least 20 grams a day. For men, probably 30 grams a day. Yeah, even during fat loss. And if you can go higher, even better. I came across one of my clients, his wife was doing keto. And so she buys all this keto food, you know, keto branded food. One of them is this keto bread. And I went and looked for something like that at Whole Foods and I found it because I wanted to try it out during fat loss myself. And it was like 80 calories for two slices of bread, whereas normally two slices would be 220. And I looked at the package and it's, you know, it's made from like wheat starch. The fiber was incredible. It was 10 grams a slice. Or 15 grams a slice? I don't know. It was some high amount, some crazy amount. It's like all fiber, basically. Maybe you're just eating cardboard. I don't know. Some people joke about it, right? But a lot of bread doesn't have a lot of flavor anyway. So it kind of works to hold things like a sandwich. Anyway, I got off set track there, but adding fiber will slow your digestion as well. So it's not just because of the goodness of fiber for your gut and for your health. It's also for your digestion and for your hunger. It promotes fullness big time. It bulks up the meals. It slows down the digestion. When you look at a packaged food, if you've ever scanned it into your food app, like if you guys use MacroFactor, quick ad here, MacroFactor, download it. Use the code WITSANDWEIGHTS, all one word. You get an extra week free trial. Try it out, MacroFactor. Okay. When you look at a packaged food label and you look at the carbs and the calories and the fiber, and it has a lot of fiber, you'll realize the math doesn't add up if you use the normal calories per gram for carbs. So carbs, we usually think of as having 4 calories per gram, just like protein. But fiber is less than that because some of the fiber doesn't get digested. So the food companies are allowed to account for the true calories, which is fine. Like that's honest, to be honest. They're not lying by doing that. For every gram of carb that's really a fiber gram, you're not quite getting 4 calories out of it. You might be getting 2 or 3 or 1. You know, it depends on the type of fiber and all that. In fact, there's insoluble, right? Might be close to 0. So when you see net carbs, that's how they're calculated. My point is, it's an interesting concept when you think about it because you've got all this food volume, but the calories are lower. And that's kind of the benefit of fiber, right? That's what I'm trying to say. Good sources of fiber just from whole foods are going to be fruits, vegetables, whole grains, legumes. Legumes, you know, depending on how your diet fits those in with the carbs, maybe less on the table during fat loss or not, but definitely fruits, vegetables, and then again, whole grains, it depends on your carb levels. So fruits and vegetables are going to be my primary in that case. And that leads me to number 3, which is incorporating vegetables and salads as much as possible. So I made this a separate hack because I think during fat loss, it's helpful that every lunch, every dinner, and then potentially 1 or 2 or 3 snacks, including breakfast, you throw vegetables in there. You throw steamed, raw maybe, if you can handle it, like raw vegetables. Some people can't handle the digest, you know, too much of that, or especially like cruciferous or if they have FODMAP sensitivity or something, but steamed vegetables, cooked, even pureed. But the problem is I don't like that during fat loss because you're missing out on the chewability, which is going to be a different hack that I'm going to get to later. So I like what they call a big ass salad for lunch, where you might have meal prepped some chicken or pork or fish. Or, you know, tempeh or whatever, and you incorporate it in a big giant salad with greens, peppers, zucchini, cucumbers, like all the things that are super filling that might have a lot of water in them and very few calories. Okay. Vegetables are great. I mean, I would even include some fruits in here, like strawberries, a good one because it has 5 fiber and pretty low calories. So definitely throw those in your salad. Oranges are great. Oranges, high satiety. Apples are high satiety. Put those in your salad, right? It's just amazing. So this adds volume, right? The non-starchy vegetables, they're low in calories, they're high in volume. They fill you up. They don't add calories to your diet. You know, go all out with all the different colors. Enjoy yourself. A lot of great flavors to enjoy. Freshness, you know, go with the seasons, go with the farms, seasons and all that fun stuff. Okay. So if rule number one, when a client says, I'm starting to get hungry, I look at their data, say, you've got enough protein, got enough fiber, got enough vegetables. Usually they're good on the protein because we've already worked on that before the fat loss phase, but the fiber and the vegetables sometimes are lacking. And it's just a habit. It's just a matter of saying like, okay, I need to meal plan a little bit to get these in, make sure I go to the grocery store, have them stocked up, you know, buy those giant boxes or bags of greens, make it easy on yourself, buy the pre-cut up stuff if you want, or just chop it all up on a Sunday. Okay. Number four, hydration, always. I've got to have this on the list. I know everybody knows it, but a lot of people just don't do it. They neglect it. In fact, as I record this show, I realize I probably haven't had a glass of water in 2 hours. And that's a long enough time, and I'm in fat loss, that I'm probably feeling a little dehydrated right now, let alone the fact that it would have staved off some hunger. Now, I'm not feeling hunger now because I'm doing this, okay? Which is one of those hacks I don't have on this list, but distracting yourself. But staying hydrated comes in a lot of forms. This could be water, of course, water with electrolytes. It could be coffee. I know coffee's mildly diuretic. And of course, you've got the caffeine to watch out for later in the day, but you could do decaf or have your coffee in your morning. Tea, same idea. Diet soda, okay, I'm a huge fan of diet soda. I love it. I know there's no issues with artificial sweeteners in my book. And if you have a problem with that, keep the hate to yourself, okay, because the science doesn't support any health risks whatsoever from moderate consumption of diet soda, just like there's not really a health risk of moderate consumption of just about anything. That's the point. It's moderate. It's moderate, okay? So one diet soda a day, two diet sodas, cans a day, if that helps you curb your hunger, if you enjoy it, if it tastes great, if you like the fizz and the experience, if you have a favorite flavor that you look forward to, okay, great. Enjoy it. Like it replaces a food in a way, you know, mentally, psychologically. It keeps you hydrated, right? It's something to look forward to. It checks all the boxes. Thirst can be mistaken for hunger. You know this. So just staying hydrated on a regular basis can help. And then electrolytes, like make sure to have electrolytes once or twice during the day will also help your body stay hydrated. Okay. So my point on that one is like, if you feel hungry and it wasn't that long ago since you ate, just go get a glass of water if you haven't had one yet in a while. All right. Hack number five, spice up your meals so that they taste better and also increase satiety. So there's some science behind this. I don't have the details, but I'm definitely aware that if you have more flavor variety, more robustness to the flavor, your body perceives it as more satisfying and therefore it can reduce the hunger, right? And all you got to do here is add spices, herbs, anything, you know, even mustard, anything that's like low to no calorie type seasoning to all your meals. Just go for it. Experiment with different spices, find combinations you enjoy. This is the time to do it. Maybe you're meal prepping your meat. Go ahead and experiment with a whole bunch of great spices. Add, you know, the antioxidant effects of capsaicin, right? Pepper based spices, chilies, stuff like that can be great. But just for satiety in general and flavor without adding calories, spices will be your friend. All right, number six. Okay, this is one of those unique ones people don't talk about a lot. Having a consistent eating routine, a consistent eating schedule can help regulate your hunger level. And I believe it has to do with the fact that our bodies are very good at adapting. And when you are constantly changing things on your body, it will adapt. And in this case, the adaptation is more hunger. Whereas if you are eating the same time for breakfast, lunch, snack, dinner, day after day after day, your body can expect it. Your body doesn't have to be stressed or seek out an adaptation because anything's changing. Nothing's changing. So it just kind of coasts along. And what I've seen happen to some people when they get into a consistent eating schedule is not only does the hunger come down, but sometimes their metabolic rate goes up. Okay, I can't guarantee that that's going to happen for you, but sometimes that happens simply because they're related. The two things are related. The fact that your hunger goes down is because your body has relaxed a little bit, become a little bit less efficient, which is a good thing, with its calories. And so you burn a few more calories because your body knows the food is coming in on a regular schedule. So if your schedule's all over the place, this is a good one to look at. to help with your hunger. Okay, number seven. I got this one from Dr. Eric Trexler. I hear him mention it all the time. I think it's an amazing hack. I've used it myself. It works really well. And that is to choose harder, more substantial foods. Foods that require you to chew more and it takes longer to eat. So this could be foods that are harder in texture, right? Because they take more time to chew and to swallow and they help you feel more satisfied. And that could literally be, you know, instead of having ground beef, having sirloin, that's maybe a little bit tough. I'm not saying, you know, badly cook your steak or cook it medium or anything like that. Oh, I'm going to trigger a lot of people with this comment. It can't, no more than medium rare for me. I'm sorry. But if you want a little bit chewier, a little bit harder, that's what I mean. Now think about crunchy vegetables that just take a long time to chew and there's almost no calories. Think about whole fruits. Okay. This is a reason not to put your fruits in a smoothie. Don't make a protein shake with fruits during fat loss. Just have the protein powder with like water, or almond milk or something, and then keep the fruit whole and eat it. That will actually help with hunger. All right. Lean proteins, whole grains, all of that, like whole grains, brown rice versus white rice. It's not just the extra fiber and the lower calories, but the extra chewability that tricks your brain and your stomach, legitimately and physiologically tricks them via hormones to think that you're eating more food because there's more volume. Okay, they require more effort to eat. They slow down the eating pace. They give your body time to register fullness. And I believe there's an aspect to your saliva as well. All the chewing and the generation of saliva is also connected to this system of telling you you're eating something that's substantial and therefore you don't need to eat as much. So I think that's a really good one. Harder foods. Okay. Number eight is sleep. Okay. I forgot that I had this on the list. Okay. I did. I forgot I had this on the list because I was telling you earlier, it's like, oh, here's an extra hack. No, it's actually on the list and we already talked about it. So I'm not going to rehash all of it, but just in summary, not getting enough sleep will make you hungrier and will increase your cravings for high calorie dense foods because your body's making up for the lack of sleep. That's it. So prioritize your sleep for hunger. And then number nine, another one you might not expect, is to practice positive reframing. If we can view hunger, since we know it happens, it's a sign that your body is responding to fat loss. So instead of viewing hunger as a negative, you reframe it as a positive sign that your diet is working. You say, okay, I notice I'm hungry. That means I'm losing fat. Great. All right. When you feel hungry, you remind yourself, this is a normal part of the fat loss process. My body's responding to the calorie deficit, and I want to keep doing what I'm doing. And I've seen clients who check in with me, and they're deep into a fat loss phase, and like, you know, I'm hungry most of the time now because, you know, they're deep in, right? They're almost at the end. But I'm also making so much progress that I accept it. Like, it's fine. It doesn't even take much discipline or willpower. I just know that the hunger I've experienced over the last 12 weeks has also correlated with the fat loss I've been going after. Therefore, it's a positive thing. Okay, so that's it. That's number nine. So as mentioned before, these nine hacks are part of a larger list of 20 hunger hacks that you'll find in my free Hunger Hacks guide. The guide includes 11 additional strategies for managing hunger during fat loss, along with these nine. And the link to download the guide is in the show notes, or you can go to witsandweights.com/free to grab your copy. All right, managing hunger during fat loss, it's a skill. It's a skill like many of the other things we talk about on this show. We're all about learning knowledge, tools, skills, developing the expertise for long-term sustainable success. And if you understand the science behind hunger, if you understand what it takes to just move the needle a little bit, you can make this whole calorie deficit thing a lot more bearable, right? Because it's not supposed to be fun, but we want to be able to live life, enjoy life, and have the calorie deficit and get through it, okay? The key to all of this is always finding what works best for you and your lifestyle. So experiment with the different hacks, see which ones work for you. Reach out to me and let me know, okay? And keep in mind that with everything we talk about, consistency is number one and patience is right there as a close second because sometimes, you know, you might lack a little of one or the other. We need both. There'll be ups and downs along the way always. And we want to celebrate the progress along the way, including the fact that hunger means we are losing fat so that we don't get discouraged. Because if you get hungry and you get discouraged, like, oh no, I'm hungry, something's wrong, that's going to set you back versus, you know, hey, this is what's supposed to happen. And then you can achieve your fat loss, you can improve your health, improve your well-being, all the things we want to do. All right. So again, if you want my full guide for hunger hacks, just click the link in my show notes or go to witsandweights.com/free. And in our next episode, 159, very exciting. Steve Hall was on. The episode is called Change How You Train Hard Forever with natural bodybuilder Steve Hall. You will learn what it really means to train hard. What exactly do we mean by that? And how to effectively apply scientific research to your own training. We'll get into the nuances of principles like RIR, which is called reps in reserve, proximity to failure, and minimum effective volume, MEV, and how these concepts relate to muscle growth. We'll discuss how to bridge the gap between research and practice based on your individual response to optimize your gains while minimizing injury. As always, my friends, stay strong, and I'll talk to you next time here on the Wits and Weights podcast. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Wits and Weights. If you found value in today's episode and know someone else who's looking to level up their wits or weights, please take a moment to share this episode with them. And make sure to hit the follow button in your podcast platform right now to catch the next episode. Until then, stay strong. Hey, before you go, I want to let you know about a free resource I have. They are free guides on everything from fat loss to eating out to building muscle to managing hunger to figuring out the best macros for you and more being added all the time. You want to get the most out of these podcasts and your time to look and feel your best, and these free guides will give you a quick and easy way to know what to do. If you want to get your hands on these completely free guides, you can head over to witsandweights.com/free. That's witsandweights.com/free to get your free guides and level up your results today.